We'll talk to him. Adam Burke will be in studio to talk World Series and National Football League with us, maybe some college football as well. We'll see what's on Adam's mind. And Kelly and I will go through some stuff, including, well, among other things, a peek into the World Series futures of next year. But really, I just want to get into the handicap of that for new time bettors. Really not even the World Series odds, but really when you look at baseball season win totals for the first time, we'll touch on that. And we'll get into some other things, including yes-no playoffs in the NFL and other stuff going on. Let's just talk about quick what happened last night. Two events, both produced in baseball and football. We'll start with the football game, which was, you know, not really, they were kind of ho-hum, not, you know, much ado about nothing. Al Michaels getting a lot of buzz on Twitter for sort of being casual about things. I don't know. I kind of like this version of Al Michaels. But beyond him saying Megan Thee Stallion and 2 Chainz, which was the highlight of the first half for me, Eagles end up winning it. And Eagles end up doing it pretty, in the end, pretty handily, though there were moments here where certainly 29-17 win, where certainly Eagles survivor backers might have been a little nervous. Houston took a 7-0 lead. But that first drive for Philadelphia in this game featured a couple blatant offensive penalties on the Eagles that weren't called. One was a big false start on the first drive. They turned out to be the game tying drive. One was a big false start by Lane Johnson. Then there was Jason Kelce trying to pull Gainwell into the end zone. Neither was called, and you're like, oh, it's going to be one of those kind of nights. It was an 18-play, 91-yard drive for the Eagles to tie it up at 7 apiece. But the Eagles, really, they could do whatever they wanted. It wasn't like this was very much in doubt towards the end. Maybe I'm being casual about it, but the Eagles seemingly had all kinds of long drives in this 10-play, 79-yard touchdown drive beyond that 18-play one, 10-play, 75-yard drive, and the Eagles get it done. And so for the, I believe it was, I'll get the exact number right, 38, was it? Yes, 38 remaining survivors in circa, 38 of the remaining 123 that had the Eagles available to them. However many of those used them, and I would imagine it's at least half of them, and I'm being conservative. Good on you. You got it done. Might have been harrowing for a minute, but you got it done. Eagles did not cover, of course. Houston did cover on the short turnaround, but the Eagles get the win for the survivor players who had them and played them.
I would say the one big concern from a Philadelphia standpoint, though, is this is a team that's had problems defending the run, and the Texans knew that, and, man,
gashed
it
him.
Was 27 carries for Damian Pierce, 139
yeah.
yards,
yeah,
over 5 yards a clip. That is something to watch going forward with this Philadelphia team.
It is, for sure. I mean, I guess a little part of me is like, well, again, short week, turnaround on the road. You know, you could make excuses, but yes, absolutely, that would be the one concern from that game. And the Eagles remain, you know, the best team in the NFL standings-wise against the worst. The Eagles remain the lone undefeated, 8-0 now. Are you starting to think this is possible? No? Undefeated
man,
season?
I'm high on this team, higher on this team than most, but
still too many
obstacles.
We've
talked about it a lot. I mean, they haven't played the most difficult schedule in the world. Nor will they. That's true. But I think that game last night, I took away more concerns from Philly than more things I was impressed about watching that game last night. I mean, everything they did well, I know they can do, right? I know they can do. But that, I think on the defensive side of the ball, you do have that concern with the rush defense. And then, you know, Jalen Hurts, you know, he looked a little bumpy out of the gates, got it together late. I mean, obviously, great stat line, 21 for 27, 243, 2 touchdowns. But, yeah, I think that this was – I mean, look, we talked about that first half betting all week, laying 7, right? That first half was a war. I mean, that was a 14-14 halftime score.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything but blow them away there in the first half. So it really took to the second half for them to take control of this game. And you were right. Kind of once they had control, even when it was just one score, it felt like insurmountable for the Houston Texans, obviously.
You wanted to let your brain get there in the first half, like, who could this be?
Yeah.
Right? Because then the Eagles had a turnover, right? It hurts through. They had a fumble, which is
right.
The first fumble of the year, their third turnover, their third giveaway of the year. And you're like, maybe, and then not so much after the half. So that was, of course, one event last night. The other was Game 5 of the World Series, which the Astros win to take a 3-2 lead in the best of 7 World Series. They win it by the score of 3-2. Jeremy Pena with a single, an RBI single in the first, and then a solo shot in the fourth, both of which put the Astros ahead at the time. And now we talked about this yesterday before the game. We talked about before game five about the MVP market and how, listen, Pena had five hits. We cited him as one of those three Astros who had five hits going into last night. He's now got eight hits for the series, including a home run after last night and the two go ahead hits yesterday, the single and the home run. And so we said one of these guys randomly on the Astros or whoever on the Phillies, whoever wins game five, someone on offense may distinguish themselves and they might become the short shot. And that, by the way, is what Jeremy Pena is now, right? He's plus 110 to be the short shot at most spots now. But here's the thing. This was the whole thinking going into yesterday. You gotta play Valdez or Javier, the Game 6 or Game 7 starters of the Astros. Now, it was funny because there was a handful of people on Twitter who were like, you're doing this wrong. No, we're not. And again, we display it by this. Valdez is now anywhere between about plus 650 to 10 to 1. You got to shop around. He is, to me, still the guy, and we talked about this yesterday. He's still the guy. We're showing 10 to 1 at BetMGM. Remember, yesterday he was 12 to 1 when we did the show. Because he's the game six starter, he's going to be shorter than Javier. But he's still the guy because he had the 6 1/3 inning performance in game two where he gave up the one earned run. He's still the guy that if he puts out a good performance tonight, assuming Pena isn't the key to the offense for the Astros, if the Astros win tonight, I still think Valdez is the guy in the driver's seat. Now, you can't bet these in Nevada, Kelly. So silly. And I believe it's a gaming rule that once this starts, you can't bet it anymore. Once the series starts, you can't bet it anymore.
Really?
I mean, that's what I'm being told. I don't know if that's true, but nobody has it.
Yeah, nobody. I mean, I checked yesterday because we and I are texting about it. Yeah. No, I didn't see anybody with it up.
Might be time for a drive across the border, if you know what I mean.
Man, is that really a rule? Jeez.
Listen, what's the other reason for it? There can't be another reason, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
But it doesn't make any sense because you can still bet on... You can bet on all kinds of things. You can bet on NFL Coach of the Year. I get there in the regular season, but you can bet on all kinds of random awards.
The other comparison would be something like NBA Finals MVP during the NBA Finals.
Could you bet that during?
But I can't remember. I don't remember. It's not like a market either. I actively bet all that often, I feel like.
But anyway, everything we said yesterday came to pass, which is, again, Valdez is shorter than he was yesterday. Javier not, but again, remember, Javier was always the Game 7 starter. So... they've got to get there for him to be in play. So I still think Valdez is still the bet, knowing that if he has a big game tonight and Pena doesn't specifically, it probably shifts to Valdez. I still think that's the bet in the MVP market, but absolutely Jeremy Pena should be the short shot right now as is because, again, eight hits in five games and big ones at that.
What were his odds yesterday?
Who's Pena?
Pena, yeah.
Oh, he was double digits, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. I don't remember at all.
Going in yesterday, we said there's
13 to 1.
Yeah.
13 to 1 he was yesterday.
The whole thing with this market is there was nobody
that had taken control, really. Yeah.
Because Bregman had four RBI. Tucker had the two homers. Talking about the Astros now. But it was Altuve, Gurriel, and Pena each had five hits. And so Pena with a three yesterday puts him up above the first. And with the Phillies going into yesterday, nobody had more than three hits and one homer. It's so funny because when you would say that to people, they'd be like, oh, it's got to be Harper, right? Harper didn't have more than three hits or a homer. So it's funny how the brain sort of, you know, processed that differently with Harper because it's Harper. Oh, I remember right. That two-run shot he hit was amazing.
Actually, I'm looking at one of the emails from BetMGM on just kind of their sportsbook insights. They had Pena at 18 to 1 yesterday, down to even money.
Yeah. That's during the game, and it makes sense. But we said that yesterday, right? Somebody randomly on offense could distinguish themselves. It still doesn't matter. Go bet Valdez and Javier now because they're going to, at least in one case, in Valdez's case, going to drop because he's still the guy that could leapfrog here. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But if Pena goes off tonight, then it's Pena's. That was always a possibility as well. We will talk more about, again, the sort of handicapping in next year's baseball season.
Tomorrow night, right?
Tomorrow night. Game six. What did I say tonight? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, no.
But
tomorrow
I was looking
night.
At that yesterday
tomorrow
and I thought
night.
It was silly.
Apologies. Tomorrow night and Sunday, if necessary, game seven for the World Series, which we're trying to muster up excitement for. It's the only bet, really, the MVP that we love. So
that's what I got upset last night when I looked at the games, because I'm like, I understand you kind of need a travel day, but do you understand how much more ideal it would be for you baseball if you were playing Friday and not playing on Sunday?
Yeah. They only have, like, great college football in the NFL to go up against. Right. Though there only are two afternoon games in the NFL plus the Sunday nighter. We'll come back. Nothing but football and, of course, soccer on the way as well. We'll start with Adam Kramer on a great weekend in college football next. Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. The other news yesterday, because we always want to follow up on this, we just want to carry out the arc. Brooklyn Nets suspending Kyrie Irving for at least five games without pay yesterday, dismayed by his repeated failure to, quote, unequivocally say he has no anti-Semitic beliefs, unquote, with Irving later issuing an apology for his social media post last week about a book and movie that feature anti-Semitic tropes. So there you go. What do you think about the apology after all this?
Look, we texted a little bit yesterday about the suspension and the language in the suspension from the Nets. I thought it
I liked their language.
I liked it too.
Yeah.
It was just 5 days too late. I think that Kyrie Irving's apology was a well-written apology.
This was also
It's
late.
Just 5 days too late. Yes. It's the, I'm sorry. It's just some of these guys are just, it's like they talk down to us like we're idiots. You know what I mean? And it's Kyrie has an apology as soon as he gets in trouble. It's like we're children. And it's like he just got grounded and all of a sudden, sorry, Mom, I didn't mean it. It's
said,
like, well,
said minimum
come
five,
on, man.
Minimum five games. Do you think that apology that he gave last night is enough to have him back after five games? Do you think they're going to require more now?
I think it's enough that he will come back after five, probably, mm-hmm. Which really interesting, and quick Hardwood Handicappers plug right mm-hmm. here, if I could say the name right.
Please.
You should download the pod right now. JVT and I were talking about this last night, right in between when we got the Nets statement, and then he issued an apology.
Because before he got the apology, you know what I was saying? I was like, this could go on for a long time.
And we were saying he might not come back.
Yeah.
If he doesn't agree with, you know, everything that's been going on and what the Nets just said in that statement, I wouldn't be – JVT and I were both saying, we wouldn't be surprised at all if Kyrie is never seen on the Nets again, because why he hasn't backed down yet. Why would he back down now? But then, of course, an hour later, he issues an apology, and it's like, okay.
He did the old backstroke. That's what he did.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Adam, ready for us? Do we have Adam Kramer? Yes? No? We do?
Not yet.
We don't. Okay. I just want to – by the way, before we're waiting on Adam Kramer, I just want to give a shout-out here, because after the show here – we do the show at the South Point Hotel Casino, and after – not every show, but after many shows, we have folks who listen to the show regularly outside of the studio. They happen to be in Vegas, and they come by to say hello, and I'm always super grateful about that, super humbled by it. And every once in a while, somebody comes by, and you're particularly touched. And a few weeks ago, there was a gentleman who came by and particularly excited when I talked about my father, and he started getting emotional in front of me because it reminded him of his parent that passed. And so there's moments like that that stick with you. And the day before yesterday, there was a couple from Hamilton, Ontario, that was here. And I want to
go Tiger Kids.
I hope I'm getting the names right. I believe it was Jim and Lynn. I know Lynn is correct, and I hope my brain's not playing tricks on me. But Jim was fighting cancer, had never listened to our show before, and somehow on Game Plus, I believe is how he took us in. Somehow, when he started his treatment, he found us, and he said that it helped us get through his that we helped in some way to get him through his treatments. And, you know, you just never know how the show lands with people. We said he wasn't really like a big sports fan. Now he's a really big sports fan just because of the way we talk about it. And so, you know, just shout out to both of them. They were so sweet, and you just never know. And I just want to say thank you to both of them.
Yeah, that's incredible. I think one of the things that, you know, we're fortunate enough to do this every day and be able to come on here and talk about sports, and it's It's a dream job, right, Gil? And it's one of those that we don't really think about. Sometimes the impact we do have, positive and negative, on people, and it's great to hear stories like that. I think that some of the times we heard a lot about that stuff during the pandemic, you know what I mean, where it was, I've been trapped inside, just listening to you guys made it feel like I was able to experience part of society again. And it was, messages like that, they hit home hard, especially, for people like you and I that have been doing this a long time, and you don't think about it more from an entertainment side of things, and you're not really, hitting people as hard as that means a lot. That's great to hear.
For all the impact we might have, the impact you have back on us is just as just as powerful. So we appreciate that. Kelly, let's talk about the odds for baseball next year. Let's just shift to that. World Series odds are out. Nothing really else is. But as the World Series continues, just wanted to have this reminder. We will revisit this when season win totals comes out. And this is specifically really, it's mainly for season win totals, but it can have some application to futures markets as well. For those who are new to handicapping the sport of baseball and or newish and might just sort of want a different perspective on it, one of the things before free agency, before all the offseason moves that are going to inevitably happen, including perhaps Aaron Judge to a team like the Giants or the Dodgers or wherever he ends up, if in fact he does move, but all kinds of free agent moves, before any of that, in baseball particular, because there's 162 games, there's a lot of teams that are going to overperform over the course of 162 games. There's a lot of teams that are going to underperform. And that is particularly true of long seasons like that. And baseball is the longest of all of our North American sports. And so before you start any of your handicapping going into next year, more for season win totals, but again, for futures market as well, you have to go through two prisms, one of which is Bill James' tried and true Pythagorean theorem. Now, Pythagorean theorem is something we all learned in geometry class. I'm not talking about that, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. I'm talking about just something that he cleverly named the Pythagorean theorem of baseball. The formula is too sort of, wonky to get into, but just trust us on this. It's simply about the runs produced by a team over the course of a season juxtaposed against the runs prevented. And in that formula, tried and true, there's an expected win percentage, which translates over 162 games to a certain record. And so the teams that overperformed by Pythagorean theorem last year, Bill James, there's another lens that we'll get to in a minute, but the teams that overperformed the most, not as dramatic as the underperforming, but the Mets, according to Pythag, overperformed. Well, let's get to Pythag. The Pirates overperformed by 6 games. Imagine that. The Pirates, as bad as they were, overperformed by 6 games. The Rockies overperformed by 5. The Tigers by 5. The Orioles and White Sox, maybe more notably, overperforming by 4 when it comes to runs produced, runs prevented. In terms of underperformance, the Rangers were the biggest underperformer. They won 68 games, but they probably should have won 77 based on expected win percentage, runs produced, runs prevented. And the two other underperforming teams based on Bill James' Pythagorean theorem, the Yankees and the Dodgers of all teams. So when we talk about the chasm between the haves and the have-nots, it actually could have been worse in terms of the Yankees and Dodgers, specifically the Dodgers, juxtaposed against the likes of the Pirates and the Rockies and the Tigers, teams like that. So the Yankees, who won 99, ought to have won 108, and the Dodgers, who won 111, ought to have won 119. Now, that's one thing. That's just standard runs produced, runs prevented. There's another lens to this, and again, more applicable to season win totals, but you can also think of this through the prism of futures, which is the sequencing of events in baseball. And so, again, just to make it as simple as possible, let's say you have 4 positive events and 3 outs in any frame of baseball, and we can look at this offensively or defensively. But if it's let's say it's 3 walks and a homer, followed by 3 strikeouts. Let's say it's in that order. Well, 3 walks followed by a homer followed by 3 outs is 4 runs. If you just turn those around and it's the homer first and then the 3 walks and the 3 strikeouts, it's 1 run. So with every frame of every inning and every baseball game of an entire season for every team, there's a certain luck factor or good fortune or bad fortune factor, let's call it, to every frame. And so some teams over the course of a season greatly overperform that or greatly underperform that. So again, before you get into any of your handicapping with baseball, you really have to look through those two lenses. And in terms of that sequencing, the biggest underperforming team was also the Texas Rangers. So Bruce Bochy is going into a situation where the Rangers were 9 games underperforming both through Pythagorean theorem and sequencing. The Angels, by the way, through sequencing, were also unfortunate, about 8 games worse than they ought to have been. So even though they didn't show up really as a big pie fag underperformer, they did through sequencing. The big overperformers through sequencing, the Mets by 6 games, the Mariners and the Orioles, perhaps most notably, by 5 games. So anyway, that's just a really brief. I don't get any further than that.
Would you be surprised by the last two, though? Mariners or Orioles? Well, weren't we all kind of surprised by them?
The Orioles appeared in both, right? Both Pythagorean and base runs. And so there's a little bit to be concerned about. But again, this is, I guess my point is this. When you look at, like, again, when we get to season win totals, but specifically because World Series futures are, odds are out now.
Rangers 50-1.
Rangers 50-1. Before you think about any of that, it'll be really applicable to the Rangers when the season win totals come out. But we wanted to say this while the World Series was still going on, in case your brain is thinking about baseball. That's where you start. Before you think about, oh, this player, Aaron Judge, is added to this team and that, or whatever. That's where you start. You're like, oh, this team starts from a different baseline than it appears in the standings. That's where your handicapping should start. Then you add all the additions and the subtractions. And remember, you're replacing the production from that same position from the same year. We talked about it most notably in football. Kirk Cousins replaced Case Keenum's 2017 production, which means he wasn't really going to improve that quarterback position that much from that one year to the next. Maybe over the course of a 3-year contract he would. But those are the kinds of things you have to be thinking about. We didn't want to get too much into the weeds, but while the World Series is still going on. Adam Kramer still to join us on college football. Bob DeLuca next. Crush'em Sports, 6 entries left.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get everything VSiN has to offer for the rest of the football season for only $99. Get VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl, plus our upcoming college basketball, college bowl, and Super Bowl betting guides. Give yourself an edge. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to get your $99 midseason special today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Norm in Vegas, loving this week's Megapod as always. Thanks to Eric Eager for joining us yesterday, by the way. Jeff Todd and I just trying to figure out why there was an ad for LA Chargers season tickets on there. We don't control the ads. We don't control the ads. I have no idea there was a Chargers season ticket ad on there. I'm sorry.
We don't control the ads. Those get automatically inserted.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Interesting what gets on
there.
That
is, I guess, no promotion of ours of a single team or anything.
It's from James_AG1. No way Burrow, always talking about the quarterback rankings we had yesterday, goes, no way Burrow belongs in the same breath as those other four. Talking about Allen, Mahomes, Hurts, and who was the other one we're referring to? And Herbert. He says, no way Burrow belongs in that. He says, Burrow's just a fancy Jimmy G, massively overrated. I'll take Jackson over Burrow any day. I'm going to disagree.
Wow.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, Matt Brown is infuriated right now.
What's funny is that I've been a big Jalen Hurts fan. What's funny is
he had no problem with Hurts.
When you put that list out, that was the first one where I was like, all right, well, I think we might be pushing it a bit with Hurts here.
This just shows you can never have consensus on something
You can't. And I don't know if we really said it on air that much, but like if you did, you could not rank quarterbacks in the NFL right now because you'd end up in a fist fight with whoever you're trying to rank them with.
No doubt. Well, maybe we should get in fist fights. with the old school boxing thing. The real Joby. He says, in the wake of recent references to Mark Morrison and Mystical, anxiously awaiting which 1990s hip-hop and R&B legend will be alluded to next on a numbers game. I don't know. It's organic whenever it comes up. Len Glauzensky also, I said, they play tonight. No, it's tomorrow. The World Series resumes tomorrow. Thank you. Teasers and parlays. Another factor, if you're betting the Eagles to go undefeated, they'll have the division/number one seed, perhaps locked up and bench their starters at the end of the season. Yes, that's a good point as well. That could factor in. Do they even care to go for an undefeated season if, in fact, they were undefeated and had those things clinched up? Dom Perignon. That's how he spells it. Gambling capital of the world, my booty. He used a different word for booty. Mm-hmm. He said, I can't even take an adjustment MVP bet on the freaking World Series. Wake up. I know, buddy.
Yeah,
I know.
We live it every day.
Preach. Brett Solomon, I'm currently sitting on Jeremy Peña World Series MVP 18-1. Would you put another unit on Valdez or more at this point? You know what, Brett? You're in a great position. I don't think there's any harm whatsoever in putting a unit or two on Valdez. That's the way to play it if I'm you. And if you give a couple of units back in the end, big deal. You've covered yourself on both ends. Anthony Teixeira, you move markets. Following your comments on Fromber, he has dropped to +850. This award could easily be his after they give his Cy Young to Justin Verlander. I know. How embarrassing is Justin Verlander Cy Young right now? Although he rebounded, I guess, yesterday a little bit. Todd Bubba Horowitz, the commissioner dropped the ball on Kyrie. Total BS. Phil Weiss, what Kelly's saying, quote, don't piss on my back and tell me it's raining. Many other celebs have been canceled for a lot less. Kyrie should be suspended without pay for a year. Johnny G, curious to see who Bob DeLuca was so confident on last week. Was it the Cowboys or Dolphins? Well, let's stop there. We'll read more tweets later. Let's go to Bob DeLuca from Crush'em Sports. He is the only person left with all six entries out of the remaining 123 that exist. Remember, it was 6,133 entries to begin with in Circa Survivor, the 6 million plus Circa Survivor contest. Bob, great to see you. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. Nice to see you guys.
Bob, now everybody, Kelly was telling me that you were on camera last week. I didn't see him. Was he on camera last week?
Do you see him now?
I see him now. He's a beautiful man.
Who was on camera last week?
All right, guys.
Bob, let's start with the question that was just asked via Twitter, which was, you decided finally, although you didn't know what you were going to do. You didn't necessarily know when you were on with us last week what you're going to do. Up until this past week, you had played one team on all six entries through week seven. You ended up going three Cowboys and three Dolphins. Which was the one that you were considering going all in on?
Dallas.
What made you decide at the end to say, you know what, maybe I should play this a different way?
I had Dallas all along, and something caught my eye about Miami, the Miami-Detroit game. So I just keyed on that game, and it came down to who was going to win a shootout if that game got into a shootout, which we all knew it was going to. It was going to be a shootout. So in the end, I kept walking around in circles, talking to myself, asking myself 200 or 300 times, who's going to win the shootout? And it came down to Tua, Hill, and Waddle. They're going to win the shootout. So I looked ahead and I said, you know, in pocket, it might be smart to go 1-1 and take the risk on Miami. And then I'll have 3 Dallas, 3 Miami in my pocket for later on as this thing gets tighter and tighter. So that was the thinking. I survived the Miami game. They did win the shootout. They did cover the spread. And we still have 6.
And you still have 6. And you're the only one who has 6. Now, here's the thing. Because I have a few questions. One is, you alluded to it. You know, you went around your head 200 or 300 times. For those of us and everybody who knows who's been in a Survivor long, whatever year that might have been for them, and Circa specifically because it's such a big pot, this does become obsessive. I have said many times, in the end, the only thing I ever care about is my Survivor entries. It covers everything. And all the other stuff going on seems so small by comparison. How much has this affected not only your life just in terms of what's rattling on through your brain, and then with your family? I don't know if you're married, Bob. Does your wife, if you are, does she know about this, and does she know the extent to which this is obsessive for you?
Well, the wife is starting to stay a little bit further away from me. She knows she's finally realizing what's going on and how intense this is. You know, I talk to myself. I'm leaving trails in the rug. Might have to buy a new rug. And so every minute, I'm consumed every minute of the day and the night with Survivor.
And she knows what the pot is, too. She knows what's on the line here.
Yes, she does.
Okay.
So I'm also in the millions. I have 3 entries in the millions. And, of course, I always get my selections in. But I'm really not paying any attention to that. It's everything, all day, all night, every minute I can, is the millions.
Millions, schmillions. Who needs it when you have 6 entries left in Survivor? All right, so now let's get to this week. You've got the 6 entries left. You went one team for the 6 entries the first 7 weeks. You split them between the Cowboys 3 and the Dolphins with the 3 others this past week. But now, you know, I was going through Survivor. We'll go through it later on the show as well. Essentially, there are 5 big candidates this week, one of which was Philadelphia last night. You've already used them. Use them week number 1. One of the other 4 is Buffalo. I'm going to assume, like most, you're trying to save them for Thanksgiving because that's a quirk. Is that a safe assumption?
I had no consideration for Thanksgiving for that game.
No consideration for Thanksgiving for that game?
No.
Oh, so you, in other words, you might use Buffalo.
I might use Buffalo. I can use them anytime I want. Thanksgiving has nothing to do with the Buffalo-Detroit game.
Okay.
That might be a stay-away game for me.
Really? Can I ask what you are thinking about on Thanksgiving?
I'm thinking about a landmine in the Detroit game. And I only have one other selection left. I can use Dallas in that game, but it's a rivalry game. New York goes into Dallas and wins. Dallas goes into New York and wins, no matter which is the better team. They rise up for each other. So I took them out of consideration before the season started, and I freed those two teams up. Green Bay and Miami on Christmas, I freed those two games up. One game out of the three on the holidays, I was not interested on. I freed the games up.
So wait, so let me just get this straight, Bob. So for Thanksgiving, you are not thinking about Buffalo. You're thinking about which game?
Well, I have New England and Minnesota.
New England and Minnesota. You're thinking about that game. Oh, my. Okay. This week, we'll delve into that in subsequent weeks if we're still here. All right. So this week, is it fair to say you are deciding between, I don't know, the Bengals, Patriots, Bills, and Chiefs?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think you're using all six on one? Do you think you're splitting again?
No doubt, all six.
No doubt, all six.
Bobby, let's roll.
Let's go.
Love it. Come on.
Oh, my goodness. Bob, do you care to narrow it down from those four, or would you rather not?
I can add four. I can't narrow it down.
You can't narrow it down. But you know which one of those four you're using.
I'd say I'm 95% sure.
Okay.
I still have until 3:30 or 4 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Yes, you do.
When I push the button. So things might change. I still have a lot of talking to myself to do, walking around. You know, back in the day when we were all growing up, if you talk to yourself, it was one of two things. You either had a lot of money or you belonged in a hospital. So, and I don't have either of them.
All right, Bob, if we're still standing, by the way, I'm saying we, like I'm part of this.
Yeah.
If you're still standing, let's do this again next week. And then we got to talk about the Thanksgiving thing, okay? Well, if that's still viable. But that,
it's all good.
We wish you luck. And hopefully we'll talk to you next week. Bob DeLuca, everybody. My man.
Pushing all the chips in the middle. Not scared at all, Gil.
By the way, the other people have entries hearing that there. They're like, yes, please do what? They're like, please lose, Bob. We're rooting for Bob. That's our dude. Paul Carr next. Soccer Picks.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. And by the way, I did check. They are proud. Attention BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when you sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager's settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement of BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. It's Gil Alexander. We have I'm giggling because of some of these tweets here. We have a pro tip of the hour. Pro tip of the hour harkens back to the baseball discussion earlier. This will apply specifically when season win totals comes out, but since you know, World Series futures are already out and the World Series is still going on, we thought we would make the mention of this, that when you start your season-long baseball handicapping for the 2023 season, look through the lens first of two things. Bill James, Pythagorean theorem, fancy way of just saying expected wins and losses, expected win percentage based on runs produced and runs prevented, because teams end up in the standings with a vastly different record than they ought to have had. So in other words, don't start with this, you know, with the Rangers as a 68 win baseline. You should start with them as actually a 77 win team and vice versa with other teams. And sequencing would be the other thing, which the Rangers also came up as a huge underperformers in. Again, are we saying they're going to win the World Series? No. But might it provide value in a season win total bet? You bet it might. That is your VSiN pro tip of the hour. We do one every hour. That means at least, by the way, on every show, that means at least 20 every day. We've counted them up for you. And they're all available for VSiN subscribers only, though. at VSiN.com. Check them out each and every day here on the network, each and every hour of every day. Okay, we get tweets at Beanie the Book. This is from, we'll continue where we left off from before. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney for the show. Oh, talking about the couple that was outside of the studio who the gentleman had said that we had helped him through his cancer treatments. He said, bless them and you. Heart emoji says, you do make a big difference in so many lives. I gave up a long-held Howard Stern and CNBC habit when I first heard you almost 6 years ago. Don't ever quit. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. That means a lot. I appreciate it. Bill Hooker, I'm in my 60s, and I have never understood, talking about Kyrie now, a bias towards any group of people. A person is either a good person or, and they use it as an expletive, individually. Bill, I'm with you. That is what the thing that triggers me about all this is. I cannot understand anyone who cannot put themselves in anyone else's shoes, particularly when one feels aggrieved on their own for lots of reasons. So, yeah, that triggers me as well. Daytime degenerate, Dr. Bob today. Good question. Bob could not make it today. Do you know why Bob could not make it, Kelly? Bob is buying his wife's parents a house, and it's closing today. His business, put his business out
there. Bold move, Bob.
Controversial move. TJ Stacks. Hey, Gil, thanks for the Daria Kasatkina pick last night in tennis. Yes, our tennis pick got home as a dog. Daria Kasatkina beating Coco Gauff in straight sets yesterday as a +116 dog. He says, which I, Jeff, parlayed with Miles Sanders over 74.5 yards. See what he did there?
See what he did there.
Let's see. Oh, Bill Hooker also adds RIP Dave Butts. Dave Butts passed away. Dave Butts, who was a stalwart defensive lineman for the Washington football team during their Super Bowl years. Oh, I'm sad to hear that. Jason Stark. Now getting back to Bob DeLuca from last segment. Quote, no doubt, all six, unquote, says Bob. This guy is the man, says Jason Stark.
He's a legend.
+_money says, love this guy. Let's go, Bobby. Web12-66, the angriest guy in New Jersey, not so angry. Says, Bob DeLuca going all in is just priceless. If you can't love this guy as a gambler, you can't love.
That's right.
He also goes
frame
on
to, that one.
He also goes on to say the second best thing is that spot with Bob DeLuca. He found a way for guys to get the old lady to leave him alone. Get down to the final 100 in a $6 million contest. That's, again, got to be angry, apparently. Angriest guy in New Jersey. Let's see. Len Gladowski says, Gil, DeLuca must be a horse player. I love it. Pushing it all in. If he wins, he deserves it. Dale J. Matecki. DeLuca Trapuka, I need tennis picks. Happy Friday, Gil. As always, thanks for making my mornings tolerable. You are very welcome, and thank you for the kind note. So speaking of that, we do have a tennis pick. Let's get that in real quick. I do have one. It's also in the WTA finals today. Nothing on the men's side. All the chalk is pretty appropriately priced on the men's side. But I'm taking a flyer on Jessie Pegula again today. Not really a flyer. Her numbers are way better. Way better than those of Aryna Sabalenka. The problem with Pegula always is, can she just get over the final hurdle of matches? Should have won a match in the WTA finals earlier. She gacked it away. But at -103, there's value on Jessie Pegula, and that's what we're going with. Jessie Pegula, who is mathematically still alive to advance to the WTA finals semifinals. Only Iga and Maria Sakkari have already clinched semifinal berth. So Jessica Pegula, the pick over Aryna Sabalenka. Paul Carr joins us, ladies and gentlemen. Paul, how you doing, man? Paul Carr from True Media Networks and, of course, the Expected Value podcast. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Gil, we have two more Premier League weekends, and then it's World Cup time. This is very strange.
Okay. Would you like to just tell us, like, your World Cup thoughts real quick here in 30 seconds, like, where you stand? What do you have in pocket?
I have a Germany bet, like I do pretty much every major tournament. I think it was 10-1 that I got. I got it before the draw. They're still priced about there now. I have an Iran play to advance out of the group, which is the U.S. group.
Yes, okay.
I feel badly about that, but at 4-1, I think that's a really good price. I have something on Senegal. I forget if I picked them to win the group or advance out of Group A. And I think there's a couple others, but those are kind of the headlines that I have in pocket right now.
Betting is betting. We have no allegiances except for the pocketbook. What's the Felica story? What did he do against the U.S.? What's the story?
It's the 2010 World Cup. Landon Donovan scored that famous last-second goal to put the U.S. through. U.S. won that game 1-0, and Felica had Algeria +0.5 a goal in that game.
It's just bitter American. He's like, God.
The whole country going crazy, celebrating, and Felica throwing a glass against the wall or something.
I loved my Algerian side. All right.
Yep.
So the big streak, the big Premier League streak, came to an end. Not big, you had like 5 wins, but I pointed out earlier on the show, your 1-2 is not like other 1-2s. Your right. one was a plus 190 dog, so you really didn't lose right. that much.
Right. If all the 1 and 2 weeks end up like that, I'm pretty right. happy with that. So, yeah, we'll take it and move on.
All right. 3-pack beginning on Sunday. What do you got?
All right. This one's Saturday, actually, this first one. I'll start with Leeds and Bournemouth. This is to what you've been talking about with baseball and the Pythagorean theorem and stuff. This is sort of like that in the sense that Bournemouth is actually a spot ahead of Leeds in the standings. But just look at goal difference. So just like run difference in baseball, look at goal difference. Leeds is 14th at -4, and Bournemouth is 19th next to last at -16. So basically, Leeds has been unlucky. And you look at shot difference, expected goal difference, shot quality, anything like that. Leeds has been a much better team than Bournemouth this year, even though Bournemouth's ahead in the standings. So Leeds is still favored here. -125 is the price I got. But I'm still taking them to win because I think they're significantly better than Bournemouth. The old take the good team theory. Bournemouth's keeper, Neto, is injured. He's not going to play. So yeah, -125. I played a little bit worse for Leeds to win against Bournemouth.
All right, my apologies. That was the Saturday one. Leeds, -125. Always shop around against Bournemouth. And then a couple on Sunday. We have a total. We have a draw. We have a BTTS. What do you got first?
I'll start with the BTTS because this is the most predictable one I do. It's Leicester away at this time against Everton. Taking both teams to score, -130. This one actually did not hit 2 weeks ago, but it still hit 28 out of 32 times. And that game that it didn't hit, Leicester A, scored 4 goals on 5 shots, which is pretty ridiculous. And B, did not give up a goal despite conceding 21 goals and over 2 or 21 shots and over 2 expected goals to Wolves. So it wasn't like the way the game played out was any different than most Leicester away games. So Leicester away, both teams to score. Everton's defense looks good on paper, on the surface. They've only given up 12 goals, which is fourth fewest in the league. But their expected goals are second most in the league. They've allowed about 7 fewer goals than their shot suggests that they should have. So their defense isn't that good. We know Leicester isn't that good defensively. Give me both teams to score in Everton-Leicester City.
All right, I was like a juicy draw play. Where are you betting the draw?
Yeah, so one of the big games of the weekend is Tottenham and Liverpool. Couple teams in just kind of weird spots. I mean, we talked about Liverpool scuffling. They got a good Champions League win against Napoli midweek, but they still haven't won away in the Premier League this year. Tottenham is, they're in the top 4. They're 4th-ish. I forget exactly off the top of my head. But Sun Heung-min is out, one of their top attackers. They've got a lot of injuries they're dealing with. So this game is just feels kind of scuffly. When Klopp and Conte, the two managers, collide, they've had 3 straight draws. So I think another draw is very much in play here. +275 is the price that I got on it.
All right. Look at the table, Tottenham is third.
Third, there we go.
Not the standings, the table.
The table, that's right.
Thank you, Kelly. I always refer to them as standings. I am duly corrected. Arsenal atop the table, by the way, by 2 points over Man City still. All right, so the 3-pack leads over Bournemouth on a Saturday. And then Everton, Leicester City, both teams to score. Paul got -130, but again, shop around for the price there. Tottenham, Liverpool draw. That's the big one. +275 or thereabouts. Paul Carr at Paul Carr on Twitter. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it as always, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you. Same to you.
Paul Carr, everybody, from the Expected Value Podcast, wherever podcasts are distributed. We'll come back. NFL, yes, no playoffs. We got to talk more about Bob DeLuca. I have a couple more things to say because he is really gambling. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.